Picture your brain as a smartphone designed millions of years ago. It runs outdated software optimized for a world that no longer exists, one of scarcity, tribal warfare, and saber-tooth predators. Yet here you are, using this ancient operating system to navigate traffic jams, social media, and existential dread. The result? A constant stream of anxiety about presentations that go fine, cravings for foods that make you sick, and road rage that accomplishes nothing. What if these aren't personal failings, but design features? What if an ancient tradition discovered this truth thousands of years before neuroscience caught up? Buddhism isn't asking you to believe in reincarnation or chant mantras. It's offering something far more radical, a clear-eyed diagnosis of why your mind systematically misleads you and a practical method for seeing through the illusion. Remember that desperately wanted promotion, relationship, or gadget? Notice how quickly the anticipated joy evaporated? This isn't bad luck. It's evolutionary programming. Natural selection designed us to pursue gene-spreading activities, eating, mating, gaining status, with a cruel twist. Achieving goals brings pleasure that fades rapidly. Our brains obsessively anticipate rewards while forgetting their fleeting nature. The evidence is clear. Lottery winners return to baseline happiness within months, and brain scans reveal dopamine spikes during anticipation, not reward. The hungry rat's brain lights up before getting food, not while eating. We're chasing a carrot evolution dangles perpetually before us, designed never to satisfy. The Buddha called this dukkha, often translated as suffering, but better understood as unsatisfactoriness. Every pleasure contains the seeds of its own disappointment, not because life is tragic, but because satisfaction would stop us from pursuing more. A satisfied ancestor didn't outcompete a restless one. Meditation works through acceptance, not resistance. When you expand attention to include discomfort rather than fighting it, the sensation remains but stops bothering you. It's down there in my jaw, and that's not where I am. In 1963, Buddhist monk Thich Quang Duc self-immolated to protest persecution, burning without moving or making a sound. His composure defied comprehension. Was he free from pain's illusion or trapped in one that denied reality? Most of us face gentler challenges, fuming at slow drivers, replaying arguments, snapping at family. The same principle applies. Meditation also heightens sensitivity to beauty. Birdsong becomes surreally vivid, textures enthralling. A single bite of salad can bring 15 seconds of genuine bliss with complete attention. What begins as stress relief evolves into profound realizations about reality's nature and corresponding freedom. Feelings evolved as navigation systems, approach pleasure, avoid pain. But they're calibrated for a world that vanished 10,000 years ago. My attraction to powdered sugar donuts feels compelling, yet it steers me toward harm. Natural selection designed our sweet tooth when fruit was the sweetest available food, not when processed sugar became ubiquitous. Road rage exemplifies what the Buddha called anger's poisoned root and honeyed tip. It tastes righteous, but serves no purpose in modern traffic where you'll never see the offending driver again. Some feelings arrive with explicit beliefs. Hiking in rattlesnake territory, a rustling bush might trigger not just fear, but a visual illusion of seeing a snake. These false positives are features, not bugs. Natural selection favored organisms that occasionally experienced unnecessary terror over those that missed genuine threats. Modern life multiplies these misfires. The thought of speaking to strangers can trigger visions of disaster that rarely materialize. Underlying everything is the happiness delusion, our persistent overestimation of how long positive feelings will last, followed by restless craving for more. Split-brain experiments revealed something unsettling about consciousness. When surgeons separated patients' brain hemispheres to treat epilepsy, each hemisphere operated independently. Researchers sent commands to the right hemisphere, and patients acted on them. But their left hemisphere, controlling speech, invented explanations for actions it knew nothing about. Shown a chicken claw in one visual field and a snow scene in the other, a patient picked a chicken with one hand and a shovel with the other, then confidently explained, "The chicken claw goes with the chicken, and you need a shovel to clean out the chicken shed." The explanation felt true to him, yet it was pure fabrication. We constantly generate coherent narratives about why we do things, genuinely believing these stories even when they're demonstrably false. Natural selection favored brains that present their owners as coherent, consistent actors in control. The mind operates more like a parliament than a monarchy, composed of specialized modules that compete for control, largely without conscious awareness. Most struggles resolve unconsciously, with our conscious self merely announcing outcomes like a spokesperson, rather than making decisions. Sexual jealousy reveals how emotions install new operating systems in your mind, coordinating multiple mechanisms simultaneously, preparing for violence, triggering punishment desires, reanalyzing past events with suspicion, and eroding trust. Evolutionary psychologists describe this as installing a new ruler with its own agenda. The mindful approach isn't resisting jealousy, but observing it without attachment, preventing it from seizing control and allowing wiser decisions. During meditation, intrusive thoughts carry emotional charges that determine their staying power. Feelings function as priority labels, deciding which modules win the competition to enter consciousness. This explains why viewing feelings objectively is prerequisite to gaining distance from thoughts. David Hume argued that reason is the slave of the passions. Feelings, not rational thought, ultimately drive decisions. Brain scans confirm this. Purchasing decisions are governed by feeling centers like the nucleus accumbens, pleasure, and insula, aversion, not deliberation centers. Rather than fighting temptations through willpower, mindfulness offers the RAIN technique: recognize, accept, investigate, and practice non-identification. Smokers who mindfully observe cravings report they become less compelling, like watching waves gradually diminish. The concept of emptiness reveals our solid world is less substantial than it appears. Modern psychology confirms perception isn't passive reception, but active construction. Our minds build three-dimensional models from two-dimensional data, creating stories about meaning. During deep meditation, these constructed stories fall away, allowing direct experience without conceptual overlays. Research shows we automatically tag everything with emotional valence before conscious thought. Perception evolved to process survival-relevant information, with feelings encoding judgments. Einstein became famous by transcending specific viewpoints in physics. Similarly, releasing the perspective our feelings serve dissolves boundaries between self and other. This represents rebellion against natural selection's core programming, the premise that you are special and your interests take priority. Natural selection created specialness as an unavoidable feature of consciousness, but this tribalism now threatens collective survival through nuclear weapons and climate crisis. Buddhism reveals structural alignment between metaphysical and moral truth. Seeing things clearly naturally leads to recognizing moral equivalence between our welfare and others. Your mind isn't broken. It's running software designed for a world that no longer exists. Meditation isn't escape, but the first honest look at reality.